Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I am here in person with Rebecca.
Yes.
So it's fun because we have been doing this podcast for an entire year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I know. Time has gone by really fast. But we're together on a staff development, and we're planning 2026, and we've been reflecting on 2025 and all the amazing things that God is doing in and through Orphan Relief and Rescue and all of the people that support what we're doing and pray for what we're doing. So in this Christmas season, at the end of the year, we just wanted to share with you all highlights and things that we're so thankful for and amazed by what God's doing.
Yeah, it is incredible. I have been home now for a few weeks from Africa, and it is unbelievable. I feel like I'm watching a movie every time I'm there, just witnessing what God is doing. You know, we have 696 kids now on our feeding and school program, kids that have been intercepted from being trafficked or have come back from slavery. And their stories are unbelievable. If you listen to this podcast, you hear a lot of those stories, which are pretty amazing. And just this year, well, just I would say in the last probably 6 months, we've had 56 kids come into our program, that most of those were rescued from slavery situations. So their stories are pretty unbelievable. It's typically, you know, parents that traffic their kids because they can't feed them all, and they're looking for the strong child to send away to work for their own keep. And we're just giving them that opportunity that if they know where their child has been taken and sold to, that we will put that child on our program if they bring that child back. So even this week, I got a report from one of our head monitors, and she's been trying to encourage one of the mothers to bring back her child, and her child's way up country. Deb, you haven't even heard this story yet.
Oh.
But her daughter's up country, and she says, well, when she can work out the logistics, she'll get her back in the next few months, is what she told our monitor. And our monitor said, no, you need to bring back as soon as you can. And she says, well, I don't have the money for transport. So she says, well, you get a plan together, and then you come to us, and we will figure out how to facilitate getting that child back. So that child is going to come home before Christmas. And it's miraculous that she's a 12-year-old little girl, and she has been being, you know, used as a slave on every level. So the parents, you know, have been getting a little bit of money for her, but now she's going to be able to come home, and our staff are bringing in the whole, I don't want to say what they're threatening them, but they're letting them know it is illegal to do what they're doing, and we don't want them to go to jail. So you need to bring your child back. Not wait a few months, because that's a few months more of torture for these children. So this mother is bringing her back. And I just feel like these are Christmas miracles that are happening before we're not physically there, so we can't see it with our physical eyes. Our staff are seeing it. We also, just this year, we had to hire 10 more employees because we're growing. And we have 47 employees now in this country in West Africa. It's pretty incredible. Just, you know, 18 of them are cooks that cook for these 696 kids to make sure that they're fed every single day, two meals a day. They're spread out in different areas. We're in 7 village areas. Mm-hmm. 5 of them are, we call our core anti-trafficking areas, where literally hundreds of kids are in each of those. So we're seeing, you know, in that 696 number, we're seeing over 500 of those kids were slaves brought back from slavery. And the stories are unbelievable. I can't wait to honestly have the Christmas miracle story of this little 12-year-old girl that's coming back and to hear her story, because she's been in slavery for probably 2 years already. So when she was 10, she was sent away. So she's going to be one of these amazing stories that we're going to be able to look her in the eye and say, tell us what you were saved from. And she, like they all do, with tears in their eyes, they share all of the abuse and horrific things that they went through, and that they felt like there was no other way out of their situation. And some of them do run away, and then we're able to, you know, help them. We do have three boys that came back that were rescued out of slavery. And those three boys are now on our program. They had run away from their homes working in the city just to make money so that they could eat, because their families, they couldn't eat with their impoverished families that they were living with. So they were living on the streets. And then it was a trafficker that recruited them in, said, you know, they needed help in the neighboring village unloading a truck, is what they said. So they popped these three kids along with 13 other little boys. Well, there was 13 total. So 10 other little boys, let's see, between 12 and 15 years old was the kids that they recruited. And then they took them 8 hours up country to a farm and made them do slave labor on this farm. So after 6 months, the boys started to run away because of the abuse that was happening to them. And then the police got those boys and just sat in a police station for 4 months while the police were trying to do family tracing to find their homes. And the relatives said they couldn't take them because they couldn't feed them. And so, yeah, so they are on our program and they're just learning about Jesus, learning that they have value, learning that they don't have to do these horrific things to survive, and that they are cared and loved for, you know. And yeah, it's incredible that not only that we get the opportunity to do this, but all of you who are helping us with these kids, it is really a team effort. We cannot do these rescue missions without you. It's very evident when we're on the field, you know, we get to see all of these cool rescue missions and look these kids in the eye. But I'm always very aware that with every rescue mission, there's a whole team behind us that are giving, that are praying, that are facilitating making these rescue missions happen. And it's so incredible. So, yeah.
Because a lot of these programs, you know, it's one element that we have is the education component, yeah. You know, so the kids in our, the 696 kids in our anti-trafficking program, yes, are going to school. Mm-hmm. And then if they can't go to school, then they are invited to be a part of an apprenticeship program to learn a lifelong skill. But then we do have some kids, some young adults that are kind of pursuing higher education, going to university, getting like a specialized trade school where they can then be a leader within their field. And we've also had kids that have graduated this year.
Yeah.
So what are some of those amazing stories? How many kids do we have?
Yeah. So we have two that graduated from high school that just went into university, mm-hmm, and they went all the way through high school. Mm-hmm. A lot of the kids that we get on our program, they're never going to finish high school because they maybe went to 1 or 2 years of school. They know how to, you know, maybe do their ABCs, a little bit of math, but they're not going to finish a normal education. So that's where our apprenticeship program does come in. And many of these kids will pick a trade that they want. So like these three young men that were rescued from the farms, they had done like 6 months of tailoring school before, never finished it because they couldn't afford to finish it. Their families couldn't afford to help them finish it. They have to be at least 14 years old to do one of these apprenticeships, is what the government laws are there. And so these boys are, there's one that's 14, one that's 15, or actually two of them are 15. And they pick that they want to go back into tailoring, mm-hmm, to get their tailoring certificate, is what it is. And so those are between 2 and 3 year programs. So since they do have experience, it'll probably be 2 years for them. But yeah, we're seeing many, many of these kids that have come back. They're going to be put into apprenticeship programs. And that is about $900 for a 3 year program. And that includes all of their, you know, tuition part of their training, usually a little toolkit of some things that they need for their apprentice work, as well as it does pay part of our salary of our monitors that are going to make sure that they're safe and protected in those apprenticeship programs as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so there's lots of moving parts because we have 51 kids that went into new apprenticeship programs, mm-hmm, just this year. And we have another 50 that are in the waiting zone, waiting for finances to come in so that they can go. And so that's what we've been raising money for this December, to help them get into school. And with every child that comes back from trafficking, most of them will be in that category where they need to go into apprenticeships. And we see hundreds more coming into that probably even this year. So it's a huge need.
Yeah. And did we have our first doctor graduate this year?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Our university kids are starting to graduate. And so our first doctor, she's gone through 8 years of medical school, was raised in the orphanage safe home that we founded in 2009. Mm-hmm. She graduated with top of her class. They don't call it 4 point there. We call it 4 point here. Mm-hmm. But she was top of her class. And she's now got a great job at a public hospital that is close to this orphanage safe home. And she actually just got married on Saturday to an amazing young man. And it's just, yeah, he loves God with all his heart. She loves God with all her heart. And they're going to be world changers, you know? They're going to change that whole cycle of what they grew up in. And it's beautiful. Yeah.
That is a really cool story.
So we have a lot of these that are getting married. You guys knew that I went 3 weeks ago to West Africa because one of the older boys, his name's Fabrice. He was one of our original children that really was, I call it the beginning of Orphan Relief and Rescue. And he got married November 8th to an amazing young woman. And so, yeah, these kids are growing up and they're thankfully they're picking really great people and they're being mentored well. But it's sweet to see them grow up and start living life.
Yeah. I know, and they're just amazing human beings,
they are.
And they just care so much about their community and their people, and it's because of Jesus in their life, they're just so thankful. They have such a heart of gratitude, it's amazing to see, to see them grow up. So we're in 7 villages. We've completed four community freedom centers. We have funding for a 5th community freedom center, and construction will begin on that.
Yep.
And then in our 2 newest villages, we, have kind of a temporary.
So we don't have any structure there, but right now they're kind of meeting, I say, under a mango tree, basically.
Yeah.
They're always under mango trees because it's shady. Mm-hmm. So that's where, the feeding. Or they're doing the feeding program out of the trunk of the car. Mm. There's all kinds of gymming when you don't have an actual facility. But those will be 2 more eventual community freedom centers. Our goal is to have one of these community centers in each of the villages where we are working, because it is a safe place for kids to gather, for parents to gather, for us to do community meetings and
run all our programs from.
Yes. All the kids. Because there's no facility that can house, I say house, but no facility that can accommodate a large group of people. Mm-hmm. And
then we also have the Saturday feeding program, which is where the kids come in each one of these villages and get a meal. And then our monitors were there and they do like a educational program, talk about a God of love and share that, but then feed them a meal. But then that's where they're able to monitor the kids, not only in our program, but if there's anyone else in the community that's at risk of being trafficked. So how many kids on average come?
We have over 1,000 kids coming on Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah. It's shocking. So they're doing 5 of these Saturday programs, and they're all, at 8 in the morning, 8 to 10 is kind of the normal time frame. And I get the report of, we had 350 kids come to this one. We had 400 kids show up at this one. We had, so I'm just looking at these numbers and I'm like, oh my goodness, I think we've hit over 1,200.
Yeah.
Now.
I know we might have some listeners out there that are familiar too with our Break the Silence program.
Yep.
And so do you want to kind of talk about what that is, an overview of our Break the Silence?
So our Break the Silence is in Liberia, and that is in partnership with an organization called World Hope International. And they are going into schools and orphanages, empowering kids to know what their rights are to their bodies. There's sexual favors that are required of them in exchange for simple things like school supplies. And so we've seen lots of abuse in schools and orphanages. And so we have gone in with this program. It's a flip chart training program that's like a story that the kids are told, a real life story of what kind of happens. And it's in a cartoon character form, so that it's just very reader friendly for them. But in that program is where lots of different things are being uncovered. And kids, you know, we had one girl come up to our staff after one of the trainings, and she says, last time you were here, she said, I did not know that my stepdad, that it was illegal for him to come into me every night. And she says, I didn't know I had the right to say no, and he would harm me every single night. And so she said, after I found out through your training that this was wrong and it was illegal, she says, I told my mother about it, and my mother sent me to an aunt, to live with an aunt, and so I'm safe now. And she says, thank you for training us on what is right and wrong in this area. They don't even know, you know, they've never been taught. So we have different teachers that have been fired because of, you know, things being uncovered through this program. And we now have some other students. We have there's a group now that is going in after all of these trainings to get statistics and to see how many kids have been like this little girl, you know, that have gotten help because of this program. And so, yeah, so by the end of this year, we're going to have some incredible statistics of what actually has come about because of this training. And that's pretty amazing. So, yeah, over 6,000 kids so far have been reached. We're going to be in 150 schools. World Hope International got an extra grant to help expand that program. So we're still helping, you know, financially, but they're able to do even greater things with going into 150 schools this year. Mm-hmm. So if you do support that program, thank you so much. It is incredible, and it's continuing to grow. And we expect, yeah, more growth with more kids being helped this year.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's so much that we're thankful for that's happened in this last year, especially. Yeah. And then the other thing that I guess we haven't really touched on is just being amazed at the movement of God.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always work with the chiefs. We always work with the elders, you know, asking them, you know, what is it that your community needs? What is it that you want? Asking for their wisdom, and because it's their people. And a lot of these chiefs and elders are like, well, right now we want Jesus. We want more. We want to be discipled. We want to learn more about Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is shocking. And the chiefs are, one chief in particular said, I want you to bring a Christian church here. Mm. And I literally looked at him like, you what? What do you want? He says, I want a Christian church here. And I was like, okay. So I looked at our country director. He's planting churches in these villages. I said, okay, there you go. There's your next one, you know. It's beautiful to see that, yeah, the chiefs are spearheading this movement of wanting God, wanting Jesus into their villages, and seeing that idol worship doesn't work anymore. They've literally said that. Mm-hmm. Idol worship does not work for us anymore. We want Jesus, and only Jesus preached here from this point on. And one of the chiefs, we don't have a community freedom center there yet. And so we had it's like a big tent type, you know, with they call it a tarpaulin. And it was stolen. And, you know, these are thousands of dollars, these huge mammoth, like we would call it like a tent here. So our country director said, you know, that it was stolen, but the chief is the one that did the detective work, and he found where it was at, who stole it, and where it was, basically it was sold to somebody. He found out where it was sold, and it was like 30 minutes away. And he had it retrieved and brought back. And when I came, you know, they were reassembling it, you know, and of course there were some missing pieces and all that stuff, but the majority of it, you know, came back. And I literally looked at that chief and I said, I have never seen a chief go the distance like this. And he said, oh, he says, we do not want anything to happen to anything you do here. We want to protect everything that is happening here. And we want more of what you're doing. And so, yeah.
That's cool. You also shared with me the story of the woman who she's a part of our thank you video. And she was just so enthusiastic wanting to thank our donors, you know, this Christmas season. Thank you so much for changing my life. And
yeah.
What was.
Yeah. So she was in one of the community meetings a few weeks ago, and I asked the audience, you know, I'd like to have three testimonies, you know, from the audience. So can, you know, three of you, you know, women or men come forward? So she was one of the women that came forward, and I took them into a little room off to the side. And I said, you know, have we helped your children? You know, can you share a little bit of the story? And she said, yeah, she said, two of my children were trafficked and you encouraged me to bring them back. And I brought them back, and I never wanted them to be trafficked. I never wanted them to be taken away, but I had hardship. You know, her husband had died. She couldn't feed them. And she says, but they're with me now. They're safe. And they will never, ever be sent away again. Mm-hmm. And she said, thank you so much for helping me get my children back. And she just had the biggest smile on her face. And then I started, you know, just processing a little bit of even the meeting that we had just come out of, because we're talking in these community meetings, you know, not only are we talking about Jesus, but we're also talking about the realities of what their religious practice does to their lives and to their families. And so I said, you know, what do you think about when you're looking at all your neighbors that are in this meeting and I'm sharing all the realities of their religious practices of what's happening? What do you think about it? She says, oh, I'm looking around and I am so happy that they are hearing the truth and that they're all sitting there and they're listening, because no one would ever say what you're saying up front. And they need to hear this because this is the truth, but nobody would ever do what you're saying. And I says, why not? Why won't they say what I'm saying up front? I already knew the answer, but I asked her. And she says, because they're all afraid and everyone's fearful. No one will say anything like what you say. And I said, okay. But it was really sweet. So we did have her on the video, and she was just passionate, just thanking all of, you know, you who support this organization. And she just was saying, I am just praying blessing over everything you're doing. I want to see more children helped. I want to see more families helped. And, you know, she just, had the passion. And so it's these ones that are going to change their villages and transform everyone around them because of what is happening to them. And, you know, they're bringing their friends to these community meetings because they don't have the courage to tell them that their religious practice is harming their life. So they're going to bring them to this meeting, and then they're going to eagerly wait and anticipate and hope and pray that we will say the truth so that their neighbor can hear it. And it's always interesting as well with the chiefs. I've been recently asking the chiefs, you know, what do you want us to say from the front that you don't have necessarily the way to say it to your own villagers? Or it's something that you don't feel the freedom to be able to say. And so one of the chiefs, he says, you know, I need you to tell all of the men to stop making alcohol and drinking it because they're always drunk and they're not accomplishing anything in their village, in our village. And they're not taking care of their families. And I was like, okay, anything else? You know, and he says, tell them to stop cursing each other. They just curse each other all the time, and they're hurting each other and harming each other. And he says, they need to stop cursing each other. And I said, okay, we'll add that to the list too. And, you know, so anyway, he just went down and was mentioning all the things. And I was like, all right. So we did, you know, in that particular community meeting, we addressed all the different things. And so the team members that came with me from the West, you know, I had given one of the team members, I said, okay, you take the alcohol one, you know, I'll take the cursing one, you know, I'm divvying them up. But yeah, it's precious. And, you know, that's why we're there. We're, you know, people say, why do you feel like you have to go? Why can't it be the locals? Well, we have 47 locals that are doing the work. They are the heroes on the ground. But then we come in from the West and literally submit ourselves to what they are asking of us to do. And that's the beauty of how we do this work, is we really do listen to the felt needs of those in front of us. It's basically my country director. I say, hey, what do you need from us as we come in? What do you want from this team as we come in? And utilize us. Utilize us in the things that you feel like you can't accomplish without us. And it's very much a teamwork.
Yeah. And I think another thing that's cool about not only learning from the community, you know, what is it that you need, how can we help you, but even our partnerships that we're having.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've partnered, seeing our partnerships grow with the police force, seeing our partnerships grow with the social welfare department. And so we even had, you know, a savings and loans program where 3,339 people, caregivers, have gone through the savings and loans program. And now it is done in partnership with the social welfare department. And it's pretty much the people own this program. And we, as staff, are really just kind of volunteering as monitors for this program. But it's in partnership with the social welfare. And so I just love seeing how it's become their own.
Yeah.
It's theirs.
Yes.
And they take ownership of it and they want to see it grow. And
yeah, it's not our program.
Exactly.
It is their program.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really great.
Yeah. I love it too. Well, so this is Christmas, Rebecca, and sometimes Christmas is not a merry season for everyone.
Yeah.
So what would you, for any listener out there who might be discouraged this season,
mm-hmm.
what would you share?
You know, in crossing the country line, you know, we're working in one of the most impoverished places in the world where it's not things that have the value. It's actually, honestly, Jesus and the love that we carry within us, because Jesus lives inside of us. And that love that we have is the greatest gift that we have to give to others. So, yeah, just loving on the people that are hurting around us. When we see someone hurting, to be able to just pray for them, encourage them, pick up that phone and call somebody when they come to your mind. Text somebody immediately. That's the hardest thing. You know, when somebody comes to mind, you're like, oh, I'm sure they're busy or da da da. And I'm trying to be more proactive now to just, as soon as they come to my mind, I just text them. Hey, I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. I hope you're doing okay. You know, just some little word of encouragement if it comes to mind, and being more proactive. But yeah, I would say in this season in particular, to be extra aware of the people that are hurting, that are extra lonely, extra in the deficit. And I'm not just talking like a tangible thing. You know, we have lots of programs that are gathering gifts, you know, for those kids that don't have gifts, you know, and that's beautiful and that's wonderful. But the love of Jesus that we can impart to others is the greatest gift that we have to offer to those in front of us and to the hurting. Yeah, it's a lesson that I have learned now as I grow older. I'm realizing that, you know, it's not the tangible things that have the greatest value. It's the beauty of the Lord in and through our life that carries the greatest value.
Yeah, so it really is Emmanuel. You know, God is with us. And those that have a faith and believe, you know, that Jesus is the Messiah, you know, the one that has saved the world, his promise is that he's with us.
Yeah.
No matter what our circumstances. Well, first, we want to thank all of our donors and supporters and people that pray and intercede for this work, because as we reflect, we're so thankful for each and every one of you that make each one of these numbers that we shared, you know, as an actual person.
Yeah.
And their lives are completely transformed.
Yeah.
And so we thank you for that. And I hope that that's an encouragement to you. And we pray that you would remember this Christmas season that God is with us.
Yes.
And he is faithful
to
fulfill his promises. And he is inviting you to come near to him and just take a risk, you know, like to ask God, hey, are you really real? Are you really with me? He is.
Yes.
That's the promise that we have at Christmas. So thanks for joining us. And we will look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.